Follow the pattern of the sound words that you heard from me and the faith and love that are in Christ Jesus. 2 Timothy 1:13. Welcome to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. It's Friday, March the 4th, and time for our Friday question and answer program. Stay with us for Sound Words with Paul Molnar. Hello, I'm Tom Booth. Welcome to our Friday broadcast of Sound Words with Paul Molnar. You know, Fridays are special days for us when we take a break from the teaching and take some time to answer your questions. And before we begin today, a reminder that if you have a question related to theology, the church, or something you've heard on our daily broadcasts, we would love to hear from you. There are several ways you can get us your questions. You can call our toll-free question line at 855-855-WORD. That's 855-855-WORD. Or you can write us at Sound Words Radio, P.O. Box 30321, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27130. And we'll do our best to answer your question on a future Friday broadcast. And Paul, our first question today is from Jonathan in Burlington, North Carolina. I've been hearing a lot about the Lordship Salvation debate recently from John MacArthur and others. Can you tell me what it's all about? And is a correct understanding necessary to be saved?
The issue over the Lordship Salvation controversy, or the Lordship controversy, is a pretty intense debate within the Christian church, at least in some circles. And I don't want to minimize the importance of the issues. The issues of salvation and the relationship between faith and works and the mechanism of how we're saved, those are tremendously important issues. I did a week's worth of programs on them for just that reason. So I don't want to, in my answer, minimize the significance of the truth in these particular issues. And yet, the controversy itself is a little bit uninteresting to me, and I don't want to be flippant about that. For those who aren't familiar with the controversy, the issue is this. Are we saved by faith alone, period? The belief in the promises of God, trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, the intellectual aspect, the volition aspect, I believe in Jesus Christ as Savior, is that all by itself enough for salvation? Or, and that incidentally, for this discussion, is calling Jesus Savior, or is it necessary to receive Jesus as Savior, believing all of those things, but also as Lord, manifesting that belief in your life by good works and obedience to God? Is it only the Jesus as Savior kind of faith that saves? Or is it the Jesus as Savior and Lord kind of faith that saves? In this particular debate, I think most of the parties involved, at least the ones I've read, really believe very similarly to one another. In the group that's advocating Jesus as Savior being enough to save us, they would immediately say, in agreement with James in his epistle, that faith without works is not the kind of faith that saves. That is, they would say, even though faith alone saves you, faith is never alone. It's always manifested in works. If you actually have faith, there will be fruit of that faith in your life. The guys on the other side believe the same things. They're simply emphasizing that those fruits of faith, that work, is required for the salvation to be effective, to be genuine. So when John the Baptizer says, bear fruit in keeping with repentance, they would argue that the fruit bearing is a necessary requirement of salvation. I hope you can hear just how close these two positions really are at the end of the day. Now, the guys who are arguing for the Lordship salvation, the faith plus the works that manifest the faith. They're doing this to combat a real problem in the church that's called easy believism. This is the idea that if someone simply walks an aisle or prays a prayer or signs a pledge card, that they are going to heaven, that they're redeemed, that they're in Christ, no matter what they do with the rest of their lives. And certainly, because the predominant view of the American evangelical church, at least, is this idea of once saved, always saved, it creates some real mental static for genuine believers. The thought that someone could, in one night of feeling guilt or particularly spiritual, they would walk down an aisle, they would say a prayer, say that they believe in Jesus, even perhaps really mean it in their hearts, but then not ever manifest any fruit of that belief in their life, just keep living the way that they're living, continue to live selfishly and with sin, not show any signs that the faith that they professed is genuine faith. And the concern is that that person thinks that they're going to heaven, and some people would even treat that person as if they were redeemed or going to heaven, even apart from any manifestation of faith or of the fruit of faith in life. And so that's what they're trying to work against, is this notion that faith is called cheap grace, the idea that you just ask for it and you have it and nothing else has to change. If you pray a prayer of salvation, if you follow that formula, God has no choice but to let you into heaven because, after all, you had faith and that was enough. I understand and am very sympathetic to the desire to combat easy believism. It is incredibly unbiblical. It is not what the Scriptures teach in any sense. James is right to say, and Paul says very similar things in the New Testament, that faith must be accompanied by works. That's how you know the faith is genuine. Anyone can say they have faith. Anyone can say they believe, but if they say those things and then do not love their neighbor, then they're liars, and they've shown that they don't really believe those things about God and about man. They haven't really submitted themselves in faith to His Lordship. And so in that sense, I am very sympathetic to the Lordship salvation folks, because I get what they are trying to protect the church against. However, we can go too far in the language that we use in trying to protect against error. Just because a doctrine is abused does not mean that you can abandon or redefine the doctrine. You just have to teach against the abuse. If I'm forced to pick a position on this in this particular debate, it would not be the side of the Lordship fellows. And that's simply because faith alone saves. We contribute absolutely nothing other than the faith that God gives us to our salvation. And the minute we say that it's faith plus anything, we are guilty of corrupting the gospel. This is exactly what Paul was so aggravated about with the church in Galatia. They weren't adding bad things to the gospel. They were adding things to the gospel. And that was enough for Paul. There's nothing wrong with circumcision. There was nothing wrong with obedience to some of the Old Testament ceremonial laws. It's not sinful to do those things. But it is sinful to say that you need to add anything to faith in Jesus Christ in order to be saved. Now again, faith, real genuine faith, the kind of faith that saves, is never alone. It will always be manifested by fruit. It will always be manifested by good works and sanctification over time. But those good works and sanctification are what allow human beings to verify someone's faith. They are not part of the equation that actually saves the person. Think about the thief on the cross at Jesus' death. The thief on the cross had no opportunity to manifest good works. He expressed faith in the Lord Jesus Christ, and in a short matter of hours, he was dead. Now, if we say that some evidence of lordship, some actual work, is required for salvation, the thief on the cross never had that opportunity, and thus he did not inherit the kingdom of heaven. He may have said he had faith in Jesus Christ, but there was never any visible evidence of that faith outside of his profession. And yet Jesus said to the thief, "You will be with me today in paradise." It's faith alone that saves, not faith plus anything. But faith is never alone.
Very good, Paul. And our next question comes from Steve in Atlanta, Georgia, listening via the internet at soundwordsradio.com. He writes, "Why is church attendance, and especially membership, important? I found most people in churches to be hypocrites, and that I can grow in faith without them being around."
I always chuckle when people tell me that they won't go to church because the church is filled with hypocrites. There are hypocrites in the bank and in the grocery store and in all of the other places that we go, and it doesn't seem to stop us. But for some reason, when there's hypocrites in the church, we don't want to be there. Let me tell you something about hypocrites in the church. If you go to church, there's one more hypocrite in the church than if you didn't. All of us are hypocrites in that definition of the term that's meant here. We all do things that are unchristian. We all sin. We all do things that we know we shouldn't do. And yet, God commands us in His Word not to forsake the assembly of the saints. He tells His people, Christians, that we ought to be part of a Christian community, a covenant community, which is a church, that we ought to take vows and be responsible and accountable to that community, that we ought to love the members of that community and look for ways to serve them and live faithfully among them. Christianity is a personal faith in that we have a personal relationship with our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. But Christianity is not a private faith. It's a covenantal faith. We're meant to live in community together, so that we, as the body, as the assembly, as the bride of Christ, which is the church, worship Him corporately, singing our psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. And we listen to Him through the reading and especially the preaching of the Word. So there's no such thing as a Lone Ranger Christian. We need to be in church, and we need to be corporately seeking the face of God.
Thanks, Paul. We're getting some really good questions for our Fridays together. And if you have a question you would like Pastor Paul to answer on a future Friday Q&A broadcast, there are several ways you can get them to us. Our voicemail box number, toll-free, 855-855-WORD. That's 855-855-WORD. Or you can send an email to paul@soundwordsradio.com. That's paul@soundwordsradio.com. Or you can mail us your question to Sound Words, P.O. Box 30321, Winston-Salem, North Carolina 27130. We'll be back next Friday to answer some more questions, and we invite you to join us Monday afternoon at the same time for more teaching from God's Word. Until then, for Paul Molnar, I'm Tom Booth. Have a blessed weekend and Lord's Day. You've been listening to Sound Words with Paul Molnar, pastor of Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church in Winston-Salem, North Carolina. Sound Words is a ministry of Covenant of Grace, and these daily broadcasts are made possible by the prayers and financial gifts of our listeners. Visit us online at soundwordsradio.com. Check out show notes and find links to helpful resources related to our broadcast. And there's information about supporting this radio ministry with your tax-deductible gifts. In exchange for your gift of any amount this month, we'd like to send you a pair of books from the Basics of the Reformed Faith series. Our web address again is soundwordsradio.com. And we would love to have you worship with us this week. Covenant of Grace Presbyterian Church is located at 508 Harvey Street in Winston-Salem. Our Sunday morning service begins at 10:30. I hope you'll join us again Monday as Paul begins a new study titled Worship and Sacraments. Until then, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ.